Whitey, Rammer. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
It is. It's nice to have your company wherever you're listening on a Friday morning. Good stuff. Stick around. Plenty more coming your way. David Teague, if you don't mind, the new coach of the Blues, will join us after 8 o'clock. Brett Deledio, who's bidding with farewell to the game at season's end for the Giants, one of our boys, he's joining us as well. And then after 7 o'clock, Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, will join us for the Friday footy preview for round 22. But the Friday form is upon us now, and it's a very big welcome to Warren Huntley, who joins us on this Friday morning. Good morning, Wos.
Morning, half. And on the Teague train issue, I don't know where I went wrong, but my daughter's a mad Carlton supporter. I don't know why she's not on the Tiger train, but she was mad keen for Teague to get the job. And
was she?
Was rampant on social media. She thinks she played a role in that.
Good on her. The power of the people might have assisted. Although they did say yesterday it wasn't a popularity contest. He's one of them merit, but no doubt your daughter got him over the line as far as I'm concerned. Nick Quinn wouldn't have from the Tab. He's got beautiful hair. It's a little bit auburn in this light, I must admit, but it's great to have him on a Friday morning. Morning, Nicholas.
Morning, Daniel. Morning. It's pretty brutal, this light. You don't get away with much in here.
No, you don't. This is like it's. I'm looking at it admiring. I can't take my gaze off it. It
could be dark in here and we'll still be able to see the colour.
I can't take my eyes off it. It's just luscious. Beautiful. Glorious. It's glorious. For those that don't know what we do in the Friday form, is we have a bit of a look at the next day's quaddy in the Metropolitan meeting in Melbourne. We're at Caulfield tomorrow, and we've got good racing ahead. Looking forward to it. The PB Lawrence is the feature event on the card, but race six is the first leg of the quaddy team, so let's get our teeth into that early doors over the 1,100 metres, the Cazette Stakes. We've got 12 going around. Brooklyn Hustle taken out yesterday, was, which is a bit of a setback. Would have liked to have seen him back in action, but regardless, a very, very good race, and Alive, the Blue Diamond winner, is favourite at tab.com.au at 4:40.
And she's coming to hand well. I've got a feeling in time and this preparation, she's probably going to be aimed at races a little bit longer. But she probably should have won on debut. Then she went through a sequence of winning the Blue Diamond and the only other defeat was third in the Golden Slipper. So she's quality, and yep, I think she's a must-include. Her jump-outs have been fine. I just think as an older filly, she's probably going to be stronger as she gets beyond 11 and 1,200 metres. But I think she's a must-include. In the Godolphin colours, I think you've got to include Exhilarates as well. It's a bit of a blending of some form of horses that have shown the class and some that might have a little bit of race fitness. Absolute Flirt, I can mount a case to say she should have won at Moonee Valley behind Tarayef, just didn't get momentum at a crucial stage. I think she certainly should have tested Tarayef on that occasion. Cheerleader's a fast filly. She'll come across from that wider barrier draw and a little freshen up for Sizzlefly, who was beaten by a smart horse in King of Hastings last start. I'm going pretty wide in most of the legs bar one, and they're the horses I'm focusing on in the first leg.
Quinny, the market for the Blue Diamond winner?
I thought before.
No, I'm going to get to him.
The market Lion now a $4.20 favourite. Cheerleader a $6.50. Equal second elect with Sizzlefly. Exhilarates at $7.50. Lankenstar at $9.50. Warren, how challenging do you find doing the form of the now 3-year-old fillies on the back of 2-year-old form?
Oh, it's a real challenge because you really don't know what development those horses have made, and it's a big part of their physical development and even mental development, the 2-year-old to the 3-year-old season. So you've got to cast your eye over the jump outs. That's subjective, as we all know. So their performance as a 2-year-old go a long way, because if they've shown high talent like Liar did as a 2-year-old and others in this race, you've got to respect that. But then you're also looking for the ones that might have shown some improvement. And until race day, it's really hard to know.
So I imagine the jump outs are huge, because 7 of the 12 are first up in this race.
Yeah, it's look, I thought Brooklyn Hustle was probably the best of the trialers that I'd seen into this. Her trial at Cranbourne was terrific, but just don't think she scoped that well yesterday. So maybe she's just had to have a little bit of treatment, and hopefully we can get her back on track sooner rather than later, or connections can, this preparation, because she looked to trial really well to me, and she could be a bit awkward at the barriers, but if she began cleanly, I think she would have been my top selection in that race, but she's not going around.
So we'll keep an eye on her for next time when she jumps out. Righto. Rama, what are our numbers for the first leg of the quaddy, please?
1, 4, 5, 6, and 9.
1, 4, 5, 6, and 9.
Wasn't so a lot of conviction.
No.
There, was it?
Are you fair dinkum or not?
Well, I wasn't sure about the 9. That's where...
I think it's important, Rama, that if you're going to do it, you do it properly. You've got to do it in order of preference as opposed to a numerical order.
No, I like numerical order better.
Well, that's what Woz gave us. That was the order he gave us.
Yeah, I'm a numerical order man for quaddies. I just...
We thought you were frozen over there a couple of minutes ago.
That was the order that Warren, our expert, gave us.
Fair enough.
Well, I think that's a choice. I think there are people who prefer to give their quaddy numbers 12, 7, yeah. 6, 1, 2, because if you're going to trim one out, you want to trim the one that's the last one.
Correct. I believe that that's
I can
the
subscribe to both theories.
I think that's the appropriate way of doing it, to be honest.
Right, now you want to tell the expert what to do,
exactly,
is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Warren, you do it the way you like.
This is your show, Warren.
We should
Warren.
Put a poll. We should do a poll.
No, we shouldn't. No.
Numerical order or preference order.
No, we're not doing any polls. Warren's our expert. He does it however the hell he likes.
Okay.
Correct.
I'll just be quiet.
So, can you just check on it? There must be a heart rate monitor out there that needs to be fixed. Race 7 is the second leg of the quaddy. The Regal Roller stakes over the 1,200. Now, Regal Roller was a 1,400 Caulfield specialist, wasn't he? Not a 1,200 Caulfield specialist.
Well, he stretched out to 1,400 metres. He was effective at the shorter trip, but then he went out to Group 1 level at 1,400 metres. He used to roll along. Clint McDonald was in the studio with Mickey Blue during the week. Might have even been yesterday reminiscing about the Regal Roller days.
I used to love Regal Roller. What a good horse he was. Good to me a few times. Anyway, he's got a stakes named after him. 1,200 metres, got 9 going around. And Be Good to Your Mother, one of the great names in racing, just keeps picket fencing all the way through, was his favourite at tab.com.au.
He's a blending of some off-season form with some horses that are perhaps proven it at a better level. But he hasn't been tested at an elite level yet, Be Good to Your Mother. But geez, a nice horse. I was on track at Warrnambool for racing.com when he had a gallop between races going back a week or so ago. He worked with a stablemate who goes around in the last, working from home, and he was awesome in that gallop. His jump outs have been good, and he's coming to hand really well. And I think that there's a, not necessarily a chips in, but there's an intent from Daniel Bowman to have this horse with the residual fitness from that winter campaign ready to go in this race, and he's a clear top pick for me. And the other horse I'm including is the horse that chased Assertive Approach last start in Adelaide. So we know that form's strong, with Assertive Approach running well but not winning down the straight at Flemington last Saturday. And he's a big horse, Behemoth. He'll be standing up, Be Good to Your Mother, a bit of a start at the turn into the home straight. And you got to take a punt at some stage and have an opinion half. And for me, they're the two I'm working in this race. Just Be Good to Your Mother and Behemoth.
Oh, now here we go. Now, where's Whitey gone now? He safes out the back of checking the saline solution, and all of a sudden he misses out on the good stuff.
Good betting race, this one. Be Good to Your Mother's been popular at the $2.50 quote, but Behemoth's been the firmer, $4.80 into $3.90. Haunted a $6.50 chance. Fundamentalist at $7.50. Antar scratched from a race last Saturday in preference for this, the other runner in single figure odds at $8.50. But Behemoth, the best backed runner, and the mighty Regal Roller won 7 of his 12 career starts over 1,400, including the Futurity Stakes at Group 1 level.
Oh, what did it? So, can you just turn that machine down if you can, please? It's just coming through the microphones. Thank you. Thank you to Soph. So, Rama.
Just 9 and 7.
9 and 7. There we go.
Or 7 and 9.
Depending on how you like your quaddy numbers given. Or 7 and 9. Righto, that means I reckon we're going to get a few numbers in race 8, the third leg of the quaddy, which is the feature event on the card, boys. Group 2, Wait for Age event over the 1,400 metres. We've got 11 going around and some names that are very familiar to our racing fans out there. And down the bottom is a very special little filly. Mystic Journey was. What do you reckon?
Well, you have to have her in. Now, if you listened to Adam Trinder with Michael Falgate yesterday, you'd be a little bit reserved. And obviously, with a Cox Plate as your main target for the preparation, you're not going to be fully wound up. She missed that run in the Bletchingley because of the state of the track over 1,200 metres, had a trial in Devonport subsequently. So she's kicking off against some talented, but not the absolute, I suppose, A-grade in terms of right through the field. But I think you've got to include her. But from the top of the page, I think you have to include Hartnell. I think as an older horse, he seems to appreciate being kept fresh. He's had 4 starts at the track and distance here for 2 wins and 2 minor placings, and he's a multiple Group 1 winner. So he's pretty well graded in a Group 2 under the Wait for Age conditions. I thought Cliff's Edge did enough first up. He loomed first up, and I thought maybe condition just blew out. He would improve with that run under the belt. Recent jump out for 50 stars was good. I know that the stable are of the opinion that he'll improve out of the campaign or into the campaign as well. But, gee, I like the way he found the line in a recent jump out wide on the track. And you have to include Mystic Journey because of her quality and her upside. We don't have a ceiling on her yet. She may well be even better this campaign than she was last campaign. So I don't think you can anchor her in it. No, I think you need Hartnell, Cliff's Edge, and 50 Stars as the insurance.
So, Quinny, everyone loves a champion. Everyone loves a prospective champion. Mystic Journey seems to be that. She's a mare now, by the way, not a filly these days. Everyone loves that storyline. Do the punters get involved on emotion in these sort of things?
Look, potentially. And maybe we need to get away from the mindset where we had Winx and we just expected her to come back and win, and that's what she did. But we know that her grand final this campaign is going to be in late October with the Cox Plate. She's a $6 favourite for that race. If she wins on Saturday, we know how those markets can sometimes overreact. So there'll be a machete taken to that quote. She went up $1.60 on Monday off the back of the nominations, which was just way too short, especially considering it wasn't all in market at that point in time. 50 Stars was well backed at double figure odds. She reopened at $1.80 following the barrier draw. She's got out to even money. If you like the favourite Mystic Journey, my advice would be keep your powder dry. She should continue to drift out slightly and you'll get better than the even money currently on offer. Hartnell, the 2017 winner of this race, a 4.40 second elect. He's been backed in from 6.50 since the barrier draw. Then we've got Cliff's Edge on the next line of betting at 7.50, 50 Stars at 9, and Canedna best the rest at $14. But this is the predicament, Warren, that punters face at this time of year. Where do you back the best horse in the race at a short quote in a race that they're not primed for? But if they were primed for, it'd be like finding money in the street.
Well, you don't want to take short odds about a horse that's not primed for a race, do you? It just doesn't make sense. I suppose the race in New Zealand, the Foxbridge tomorrow is an example where Tiako Shark's a really exciting horse, but he mightn't be primed for that race. He'll be the best horse to come out of the race, but you just need to know and understand, I think, the campaigns and the preparations, and therefore you only want to bet when you think the price is right. And if the horse is under the odds, she might come out and win easily. I wouldn't be shocked at all. But first up with a Cox Plate campaign in mind and missing that run first up in the Bletchingly, I just wouldn't want to take too short odds, but certainly wouldn't be shocked if she won.
And have you seen the mindset change on the back of Black Caviar and Winx because they won every start? A lot of people say Maccabi Diva's final race campaign was the best they've ever seen, and yet she ran second to Ladder the Manor in that preparation.
That's because she's a stayer and she had to get fit to get out to those staying trips, and that's what you want to see is progressing out, and that's what good trainers do is they work back from the goal and understand the strengths of their horses. And we don't know if Mystic Journey's a 2040 metre horse yet, but Adam Trinder's confident she is, and that's how he's preparing her to be ready for that task. And David Hall initially and Lee Friedman were preparing Maccabi Diva to be at her peak for a 3,200 metre race, but she was good enough to win races on the way through when she got to the right trip.
So, Quinny, you said before that she is $6 for the Cox Plate.
Yes.
And if she wins, there might be some fluctuation.
There will be. If she loses, she might get out slightly, but unfortunately, looking at these future markets, they seem to go in a lot and not go out a lot of the time. So I think for her to drift, something would have to go significantly wrong. If she runs a nice second, third or fourth, which Michael Felgate is now tweeting to the world that is what he anticipates will happen on the back of the interview yesterday, she'll probably remain about $6. But if she comes out and wins impressively, she won't be $6, and she might not be $6 again if the race does fall away between now and race day.
Numbers, please, Rammer.
1, 4, 5, and 11.
Nice work. That's the third leg of the quaddie. The last one is over the 1,100 metres, and there are 13 going around, and I think, certainly the markets that I've got in front of me, Quinny, from yesterday, we've got equal favourites in Miss Ayano and Bella Valor at 5.50 at tab.com.au was.
Wide finish for me, half, and you need to include those runners that you mentioned, but reference that working from home, worked with Be Good to Your Mother in a meeting at Warrnambool recently, and her jump outs leading into her first up run are terrific. A little edge off the track. I'm thinking we're going to be working with a soft track. I don't think it'll deteriorate much more than that.
Yep.
Not going to get heap of rain today. And Antar was a late scratching with a track deterioration at Flemington last week. So hopefully for Antar's connections, he can go around. But I think working from home with the edge off the track is ready to run well first up. She's big odds, and I think she's a must include. Grey Shadows on the fresh side has a great record at the Caulfield 1100. Miss Ayano was a case of heart in your mouth stuff with Craig Williams last start, but he knew what he had underneath him and she sprinted quickly to win. Wider barrier draw, but Mark Zara aboard here, no disadvantage there. Causeway Girls trialled up well. Bella Vella's running good times in Adelaide, and a horse that another one I think is trialling well in jump outs going into the first up run is Victory Kingdom from the Hayes and Dabbing operation. So pretty wide finish for me. They're the ones I think we have to include.
Quinny?
So by the sounds of it, have you got the Bowman runner on top in the lucky last 10 of the day? Working from home?
Yet to be decided. Okay. But it'll probably slot into the Rammers Ruffy situation somewhere.
That's what I was going to say. $21 chance there to end the day. So $21. Could be a big day for the stable. And number four working from home at big, big odds in the last. But I'm a bit flat, Warren. I don't normally tip a Ruffy. And when I do, I'd like to get a little bit of a push. You didn't even mention Jordan, number nine. Can you give me something?
I think there was a glimmer of hope last start that she's getting back to her best. She was safely held, but fitter with two runs under the belt. Not too sure how the inside barrier is going to be playing by this stage of the day. She might get buried back in the field, but I wouldn't talk you out of her in a wide race, Quinny, because I think she was disappointing first up, perhaps with excuses, but she showed that she's progressing well with a better second up run, and she might be even further improved with that run under the belt.
Sounded like a bloke who was really just trying to make you feel good.
You know what? It's really much more diplomatic than some of the other blokes that have your Matt Stewarts and your Dinos who just give me a no or don't be kidding yourself or something like that. So
I'm thinking, Warren mentioned six. Six of the 13, basically half the field, did mention yours, so it's no
chance. Yeah, not a good push. Now, there has been a good go, though, for Miss Ayano, who's been $11 into $5.50. Ooh. So good each-way support there in the last for number six.
Rightio, so they're the number. What are the numbers, Rammer?
4, 5, 6, 10, 11, 12.
4, 5, 6, 10, 11, 12. So they are your numbers for Warren's Quaddy. At this stage for Caulfield tomorrow, of course, the punters panel tomorrow will sharpen the pencil a little bit further. Is Rammer Ruffy, are we going with that one?
I reckon we can top and tail the program with a couple of Rammer's Ruffies.
Oh, hang on a second. This is two Rammer's Ruffies. This is rare air.
This is great. This is fantastic.
I love this. What do you got for us?
First up run without much luck at Moonee Valley of race one, number five, Exaltara, was good in an even race. I think he's somewhere around about the $14, $15 mark last time I checked. Oh. I think he could run well at that price and be good to your mother at the price Quinny just quoted in the last. I think it's over the odds at that price. So a couple of Rammer's Ruffies that we can play each way, race one, number five, and race nine, number four.
Was it be good to your mother working from home?
Sorry, working from home, race nine, number four.
Just checking.
You're all up there at $294.
Oh, I'm on. I am on.
Just a dollar.
Just a dollar's all you need.
Just a dollar's all I need. And I am in business. You got any other bests for the day? Or what do you got for us there?
Well, I might have been getting ahead of myself with mentioning Be Good to Your Mother as a Ruffy because he's favourite. But I think he's wound up enough to take that biggest test. I like him. Race 7, number 9, Be Good to Your Mother. And well found earlier in the day from a good first up run. The two stables I'm focusing in on are the Elton Zara stable and the Daniel Bowman stable. Age of Chivalry's already been well found, but I think second up at 1,400 metres, clearly the one to beat, race four, number six.
How well found has Age of Chivalry been, Quinny?
Age of Chivalry has been popular, now into $2.30 from $2.80, and hopefully can get the job done.
Righto, that's good.
Let's not alert Warren to the little black dot in the form guide to upset him.
Did you put that? Oh,
let's,
no.
Let's not do that to
let's
him.
Let's not do that.
I'll quickly change tact. How many goals will Jared Ruffhead kick on Sunday?
Three.
Five.
Two.
Is it $1.25 to kick one or more? Is that not the greatest $1.25 shot in the history of punting?
No, Winks would be that.
That's multi-special. That's multi-special, that is. Hey, Quinny, what have you got for us?
Scales of Justice at around the $1.80 quote will be winning. Race 7, number 1, over at Morphettville.
Oh, Adelaide,
just
right
keep on. Yourself entertained till then. That's what I've got to try and do.
Adelaide 7-1. Righto, that's what we want there. Hey, Woz, great to have you, mate. Oh.
Looking forward to having Dino back sometime in the future, but happy to jump in the chair when we're waiting for the return of Dino.
You're a good man, and we'll send Teagy your daughter's regards as well a little later on in the program. That is the Friday form for another Breakfast Club at Friday. We are going to get to the early mail after this, hopefully find your winner today.